Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are open, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before your passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Chronicles. Solomon said, "But will God indeed reside with mortals on earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built? Have regard to your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you. May your eyes be open day and night towards this house, the place where you promised to set your name, and may you heed the prayer that your servant prays towards this place. And hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. May you hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Hear and forgive." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
6 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been risen from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
May only your word be spoken here, O Lord. May only your word be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing ordinary about Matthew's gospel this morning. He tells us that Jesus led Peter, James, and his brother John up a high mountain. We sense that something very significant is about to happen, and indeed it does. The disciples are so affected when they see Jesus transfigured, when they see Moses and Elijah with him, that they want to build dwellings to capture this moment. The transfiguration was not necessary to reveal the identity of Jesus. Peter already had acknowledged him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The transfiguration was not necessary for Jesus. It was Peter, James, and John who needed this experience. Disturbing as it was in that moment, they needed to see and experience the power of the living God in their midst, up close and personal. Sometimes you and I are given transfiguration experiences, maybe not quite so dramatic or alarming, maybe not mountaintop experiences, but they happen all around us. I experienced one such moment about 25 years ago when my mother Sarah and my father drove me out to Live Oak, where I would attend Curcio 55. I had just climbed on the bus with the other candidates for the final leg of the journey into Camp Weed when I looked out the window to see my folks standing arm in arm waving at me. I cannot explain precisely what I experienced, but their expressions in that moment were extraordinary. I saw freedom and love and joy on their faces. For the first time ever, I recognized their true identity, not as my parents, but as children of God. In that moment, they were transfigured. And in that moment, I caught a glimpse of my own true identity. I remember hearing just a few years ago about a transfiguration experience of sorts from my friend Lupe, an abuela, a grandma, who lives in the town Riobamba in Ecuador. Lupe had been hosting a weekly Bible study for her neighbors. While their children played nearby, the adults would read scripture and pray for God to help them feed their families and meet their basic needs. One day, the adults noticed the children playing house with plastic food and other toys. The children began to pool their belongings to make sure everyone had sufficient food and resources. Watching the children work together was a transfiguration moment for Lupe. She sensed that God was revealing something important through the children's actions. Lupe began to pray and wonder what might happen if the adults were to pool their money to buy groceries in bulk. Eventually, she convinced her neighbors to each pitch in $5, hoping that together they would be able to buy enough vegetables and food for a week. When they did this, they were able to buy enough food for 2 weeks. Over the years, this grew into a food cooperative that has been duplicated in multiple cities in Central and South America. We also met Lupe's grown son, Roberto, who was one of the children that inspired this effort. Roberto travels to nearby countries training others on how to start a food co-op, and he encourages farmers to raise organic produce and to sell it locally. Today, he has a family of his own, and he serves in the Ecuadorian cabinet as Minister of Food Sovereignty. Transfiguration moments stir us up. They move us toward something new. Last Wednesday, I witnessed a transfiguration of sorts. My friend Michael, a man I met on the street about 2 years ago, approached me during our morning prayer coffee and fellowship at Clara White Mission. We've spoken together and prayed together on many occasions. Michael has a history of substance abuse. He's enjoyed periods of being clean and sober, but then the devil comes in, he tells me. I notice that Michael has never embraced 12-step recovery communities. He hangs on at the very edge at best, convinced that faith in Jesus will be enough. As he approached me this Wednesday morning, he had a look of intention on his face I'd never seen before. "How are you?" I asked. "Not so good," he said. "I relapsed, and I just got out of jail. I need you to help me." What I saw in his face, in his entire being, in that moment of clarity, was a man transfigured by the Spirit of Truth. When he asked for help, I knew he meant it. I knew he was willing. I wrote down the name of a man who could help him enter a community of recovery. "Why don't we call him right now, together?" I suggested, and he agreed. The three of us met, and it was all arranged. Michael called me Friday morning, excited to be moving in. "This morning when I woke up," he told me, "I felt the hand of God like I've never felt it before." These experiences of transfiguration often happen in the briefest of moments, but but they are more real than the flesh on our bones. These moments provide an opening for the grace of God to enter our lives in a new and profound way. The moments themselves become meaningful when we let our guard down, when we follow through with action. Jesus was not interested in having the disciples worship him or Moses or Elijah. He was showing them the true source for the work he would give them to do. Welcome the stranger, feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, and heal the sick. My friend Michael may find recovery, but he will only hang on to it if he's willing to give it away, if he's willing to share what has been given freely to him. This will be his work. Transfiguration experiences require risk and vulnerability. They inspire us to consider what Lupe told us that chilly morning in Ecuador. Another world is possible. Moments of transfiguration remind us that God is alive and well, and that he is at work within us. This week, we will observe Ash Wednesday and enter a season of reflection and repentance. If we can remember that we are merely dust, and to dust we shall return, it will be easier to see the folly of hiding our true selves from God or from one another. This creator of all things cannot be contained, not on earth or in the heavens above. But I promise you that this living God, this one who is love, dwells here with us mortals on earth. This living God longs to bring us together to make us whole, not just as individuals, but as a community. Watch for him. Wait for him. Do not be afraid. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all seen and unseen. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God, light from light,
true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Christ, for our salvation, came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became part of the Virgin Mary.
On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son, worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For the nations of the world, especially the nations of Africa and the Middle East, for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, For all who we love, those who live and those who have died, I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially Rick Campbell and Linda White. Let us pray together, saying, for all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. I invite you to speak their names aloud. Let us pray together, saying, for what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings. And we ask you, Lord, to continue blessing us as our church, as individuals, and to make us instruments for your praise and for your glory. This we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of sins. Have mercy upon us, merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins, and confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to the life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. Welcome to all our visitors. Please fill out your newcomer card, which you will find in your pew racks. If you are new or to our congregation, please raise your hand up and so we can greet you and we can bring you a gift bag. A very special welcome this morning for Mother Beth Joflet, she's joining us, and which we heard the word of the Lord through her. You are most welcome, Mother Beth. As you realize, Dean Kate is in New York today, this week, and will be preaching in the General Seminary on Ash Wednesday. A wallet medication card today from our parish nurses. This card is to help you and your family members remember your medicines and how to interact with each other. So the bulletin, you can see the bulletin for the time and place. We've an intercongregational gathering open to all. will meet in Cummings Chapel for worship, followed by a potluck dinner tonight at 5 o'clock. You will see more details in your bulletins. The Shrove Tuesday pancake supper and service times for Ash Wednesday can be found also in your bulletin. Please note the Lenten brochures in your pews. Look them over and find a way to take a few steps closer to God during these 40 days. Also, an icon worship will be offered during Lent. Call the church office if you are interested. The details are in the bulletin. Next Sunday is the Episcopal Relief and Development Sunday, so we invite all Episcopalians to join together in the first Sunday in Lent and throughout the Lenten season to pray for those living in need. Also, next Sunday is the Lenten Evensong at 5 o'clock. Choir Ramesh Sail Choir Ramesh Sales camp items can be purchased after this 11 o'clock service at Tolliver Hall. And now remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home, from the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of Lord God, of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of His Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in His name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and with the Holy Spirit, your Church gives you honor and glory and worship from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, so we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God to you, the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on Him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and assuring us that we are living members of your Son and heirs of the eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to the world you have given us. Love and serve you. Christ our Lord, to him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, honor and glory. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you and with your families, now and forevermore. Amen.
last Sunday before Lent. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.